So, all right. Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 1. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this special day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son down here to die for us. Father, we thank you that you raised him back to life and that you seated us with him in Christ Jesus. Father, that he righted all the wrongs between you and us. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus, our high priest, does for us every day. The Bible tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for us, the saints. So, Father, we praise you for these things, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One of the things that we get told a lot is to identify with Christ. It tells us to be followers of Christ and be like him and identify with him. One of the important things that we must do in order to be successful in identifying with Christ is see how Christ identified with us. See, we have to understand how he made himself, who knew no sin, to be sin, that we, through him, might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look first here at Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Man, that sounds like a wonderful Christmas story. And just reading it like that makes it seem like a wonderful Christmas story. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. But remember, I told you to daydream sometimes. We went through a long study about daydreaming. Actually, it's called visualization. Sometimes you need to step back away from the story and look at what's actually going on. Get a bird's eye view of this whole thing. Remember, when you're reading the Bible, you need to have a little bit of understanding about the culture, a little bit of understanding about the law, a little bit of understanding about the geography, so you can get a full picture of what's going on. Then you can see how Jesus identified with us. So here we have this first thing we talk about Joseph here. Imagine a young man getting ready to be married. What a glorious day. He's getting ready for his wedding day. And according to the culture, his family promised him a virgin. And actually, after they consummated the marriage, they'd take proof to the parents to show that they actually did receive a virgin. He's ready for his wedding day. And his bride shows up pregnant. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have tormented that young man's mind? Then she, this floozy cheated on me before our wedding day. We didn't even make it to the altar and she cheated on me. According to the law, she could be stoned to death. So now we have to see where his obedience to the Holy Ghost had to outweigh his obedience to the religious mafia, his obedience to the traditions of the time, his obedience to the culture. So he had to take that risk and go ahead and say, okay, even though she's pregnant, I'm going to marry her. That's a pretty bold move, wouldn't you say so? Even in today's environment, that's a pretty bold move. Even though she's pregnant and it's not my child, I'm going to marry her anyway. One thing about God is He is about forgiveness. Sometimes we don't really understand what's going on all the time, but we forgive anyway. Sometimes it's hard for us to come up with forgiveness in our hearts for some of the things that have happened. And it's a real challenge. And we say, how can we possibly forgive this person for what they did to me? Well, we have to use Jesus' forgiveness. Okay, I'm willing to forgive this person. I'm going to use Jesus' forgiveness to forgive this person. Sometimes it's just too hard in our own ability to come up with that in our own heart. But we use the love of God and the forgiveness of Jesus to do that. God is about forgiveness. He sent His Son to this world not to forsake this world. Amen? That's good news. That's the gospel. One of the things, when Jesus was born, there were shepherds in the field and these angels showed up and they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. That means the war between God and earth, the war between heaven and earth was over. God sent His salvation to this earth to save His people from their sins. How cool is that? Now, let's go to the next part of this. Verse 19 says, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But he obeyed the Holy Spirit, and he went ahead and married her. Verse 21 says, she shall bring forth a son. Born of a virgin. You know, in the culture back then, a woman, a girl, became a woman and she was expected to know what she was going to do for the rest of her life when she was 13 years old. Did you know that America coined the term teenager? We came up with that idea. That time of culture, they were expected to be a full-grown woman when they were 13 years old. But here's a young teenage girl that has been promised in marriage to a devout man that is pregnant. Can you picture this in your mind's eye? How terrified she could have been. she has to go tell her parents and the religious mafia that she's pregnant and it's God's baby. You know, the church has not caught up with forgiveness and mercy. One person that I worked for, his family, they were pretty serious about going to church. And I was visiting with them one day, and they said they were getting ready to get rid of one of their elders. They were going to kick him off the board. I said, "Oh my, what did he do?" He said, "Well, his daughter is living in sin with a man with her boyfriend. They're living together." And I said, "How old is his daughter?" "Oh, she's 22, something like that." I said, "So you're going to punish him for her sins?" You see how far religion has gone? God will not punish you for the sins of another man. America needs to get a hold of this. The church needs to get a hold of this. They need to get a hold of it fast. You know how many people I run into that say, the whole nation's going to be in trouble because of what California is doing? Said, didn't he already judge the sins of the world? Didn't he already forgive the sins of the world? Well, yeah. Then why is he going to send judgment on California? Why is he going to send judgment on us for something we didn't do? That's not why Jesus came. In fact, Jesus came here to take the sins of the world upon himself on that cross. You must understand there's a legal side to redemption. There really is. There's a legal side to redemption. And you have to understand that. Here's the thing. When the children of Israel were walking around out in the desert during their 40 years, they got in trouble. And they got bit by snakes. And they asked Moses what to do. Moses asked God, what are we supposed to do? And he said, okay, here's what you do. Now, always remember, there's types and shadows of Jesus in the Old Testament. So, do you make a bronze serpent? Why a bronze serpent? Because bronze is significant of sin in the Bible. And you put that bronze serpent on a pole. Jesus had to be lifted up. Now, here's the thing. He said, anybody that looks upon that serpent shall be healed. So when they looked upon that serpent, this bronze serpent on that pole, they seen their sins judged on that pole, and they walked away healed. The Bible tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus on that cross and see your sins and your sicknesses judged. And on that cross, and walk away healed and whole and forgiven. The Bible tells us that you've been justified freely by His grace. That happened when God raised Jesus back to life. Now, stop and think about these things once in a while. Says you've been justified freely by His grace. I mean, justified, never sinned. Justified. Just as if nothing ever happened. I'm not a legal expert, but in order to be justified, don't you first have to be judged? You have to be judged before you can be justified. There are too many people that are waiting around, waiting for a judgment. And they live their lives in fear, afraid that God is going to somehow punish them for something that they did in their past. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The only way that you're going to fall under the curse of the law is if you're trying to keep the law. See, if you try to keep the law, you have to keep all of it. If you keep one part of it, you have to keep all of it. And they had to keep all of it before Jesus got here. Jesus came here to redeem us, to set us free. He tells us that you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. There's so much more to the birth of Christ. So this young teenage girl has to explain why she's pregnant with God's baby. Well, here's an important thing to understand. You get your blood from your father. Did you know that? You get your blood from your father, not your mom. In the Garden of Eden, God told Satan, said, there's coming one that's going to bruise your head, the seed of woman. I mean, I've raised animals most of my life. And I understand that women don't have seeds. They have eggs. How is the seed of woman going to bruise his head? Because he got his seed into her. Why is that so vitally important? Because I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nation you're from. You're related to me. You know why? Because you have Adam's blood flowing through your veins. And the very fact that you have Adam's blood flowing through your veins means you were born into sin. And you have a need for a Savior. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. He has the blood of God. That's important. Our blood is tainted with sin. I don't care how good of a person you are. I don't care how good of a life you've lived. I don't care how many nice things you've done in your day. You have a need for a Savior, and His name is Jesus. You have a need for Jesus to save you from your sins. And if you've been born again, that's exactly what He did. And since you've made Him your Savior, He's saving you from your troubles right now. You're born again, you're going to heaven. But He's saving you. Did you know that? Right now He's saving you. He's saving you from poverty. He's saving you from sickness. He's saving you from, you know, the Bible tells us that He sends His angels to bear us up on their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. He's saving us daily. And then when we see Him face to face, He will complete our redemption. We will be saved. Amen. That was right there, people get a revelation of that. That would end a whole bunch of denominational fights. And the church would come together in the unity of the faith, which is what we're going to do. Amen. So, we have this young couple. We've identified with their troubles now. We can see a lot of similarities with this young couple. Now we have Jesus. He's not sin-tainted. And the Bible tells us that God was pleased with Him. Now we know that the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. So we know that Jesus grew up and lived a righteous lifestyle. Amen. And then He got baptized in water, and then the Holy Spirit came upon Him like as of a dove. And then he started his ministry. See, it's very important for us to understand that Jesus on this earth, see, he laid deity aside. And he did not do one miracle until he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, "For he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." That tells us that the minute we get born again, we get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That righteous word, that's a legal term too. That means we're in right standing with God. That means that everything that was wrong between us and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus. How cool is Jesus? You know, verse 17, just ahead of that, tells us that we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Too many times we waste a lot of time wishing that we could start life over with a clean slate. How many of us have been caught wishing we could just start over with a clean slate? Oh, my goodness. The world may not forget what you did, but God did. And you have a choice. You can focus on what the world thinks about you, or you can focus on what God thinks about you. I don't know about you, but the world doesn't think very highly of me a lot of times. But Jesus said, "You're in this world. You're not of this world. You belong to another kingdom. You're not the same as the people of this world." God looks at you differently. In fact, the Bible tells us that when in the Old Testament, have you ever heard of a scapegoat? You know how that came about? Scapegoat? These guys would take two goats to the high priest, and they sacrifice one and take his blood and put it on the head of the live one. This is important. They'd take that live goat and they'd head east with him. Take that live goat, the blood, and that goat was significant. It was a sign of them carrying your sins away. The Bible tells us that your sins have been taken away as far as the east is from the west. They take that scapegoat, head east with them, and that goat is never to be seen again. Ever. God took your sins away from you as far as the east is from the west. You know, that's a long, long ways. You know something curious? You can head north. And most Texans think if they get to the Canadian River, that's as far north as they need to go. It starts getting cold after that. I thought my wife all the way north to Wyoming. Northeast Wyoming. It's sure enough cold there. But you know, you can even go farther north. And pretty soon you get to the North Pole. Now guess what? When you get to the North Pole, if you take one more step, you're heading south. But you can take off and you can head east. And it don't matter how far you go, how long you travel east, you're going to keep on heading east. For eternity. That's how far away God took your sins away from you. Now, in the Old Testament, the thing was, God focused on the high priest. And if the high priest was righteous and just and good, it didn't matter how flaky and crazy the people were. As long as the high priest had it together, they were okay. But if the high priest was flaky and crazy, it didn't matter how good the people were, how much they had it together, they were toast. The Bible tells us that Jesus has been made our high priest. See, the Bible tells us that as he is now, so are we in this world. How do you suppose God looks upon Jesus? Pretty favorably, don't you think? That's how he looks upon you. How do you suppose Jesus treats, or how do you suppose God treats Jesus? Pretty good. That's how he treats you. In fact, God loves us with the same love that he loves Jesus with. You've been put in the same position as Jesus. You know why? Because when the minute you got born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ. That means you're no longer separated from Jesus. You're one with Jesus. One with him. And the Bible tells us that we've been seated with him at the right hand of God. Now, when you're sitting at the right hand of the most powerful person in the world, you're in a very prominent position. In fact, Joseph found himself in that position. We got seated at the right hand with Pharaoh. And even Pharaoh gave him a signet ring. And Pharaoh said, whatever Joseph says, it's the same thing as me saying it. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. There's another legal verse for you. Jesus gave you power of attorney to use his name. Whatsoever you shall say in his name, that will he do. Now, it's pretty important for us. I was helping a lady the other day work with her TV. I don't know why they call me with these technical issues. That's just a waste of time. But well, I went down there anyway. I was ordered to volunteer. So I go down there, and I say, well, where's the remote? And I punch a few buttons, and nothing happens. And I say, is there another remote? I say, I don't know. I said, seems like there should be some directions. She said, yeah, you'd think so. I said, well, is the box somewhere? I said, I don't know. He took the box with him. I said, I'm not really smart enough to do things without directions. You know, if people would understand that, too many times they put their Bibles over to the side. On the coffee table, they'll open it up when there's a baptism or a marriage, a wedding, you know, or a funeral or something. Sometimes they'll squish a pretty flower in the pages. But basically, it'll just kind of sit there on the coffee table. And they may even hold important positions in the church. But that Bible stays on that coffee table. Or on the mantle of the fireplace, a special place. A lot of times you'll open up someone's Bible and there will be no writing in it, no underlines. And they walk through this life like a man walking in total darkness. They have all the promises of God, but they don't know what they are. They act like orphans. They don't know that they have been made children of the Most High God. Oh, they go to church and they listen to what the pastor says. And when they get confronted with the problem, they say, well, the pastor says. Did you know that's not the same as the Bible says? That's not the same as God says. Hold your Bible up. This is my Bible. Say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. This is my Bible. These are my basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is the owner's manual to my body, my soul, and my spirit. If I want my body, soul, and spirit to operate properly, then I'm going to read the instructions. I'm going to know what God says about me. I don't care what my pastor says about me. I don't care what the world says about me. I don't even care what mama says about me. This is what my Bible says about me. That means it's what God says about me. So I'm going to read this. And I'm going to know how to operate in this kingdom the way God designed me to operate. One of the most amazing documents I ever read was a story about a woman. She was born into slavery, and she was a slave all her life. And she lived in a little shanty shack in poverty, and she was getting close to death. And a minister went to talk to her, and while he was talking to her, he noticed there was a framed document in glass on the wall. And he asked her, said, can I look at that? She said, yes, but be very careful. My master gave me that. So he took it down and he was looking at it, and he said, can I take this to town and have some experts look at this? And she said, yes, but be very, very careful and bring it back. My master gave me that. So he took it to town and found a lawyer, and this lawyer said, we've been looking for that document. Said this woman that she worked for all her life was very, very wealthy. And she left in her inheritance to this woman a very, very large sum of money. This woman had lived her life in abject poverty. All the while, she had more than enough money to live a very healthy life, a very wealthy life, being well provided for. But she didn't know what she had. We have Christians all over the country that have been left a very wealthy inheritance, that have been left more than enough to live a happy, healthy, successful life. And they go through life one struggle after the other, one sickness after the other, hoping that they can hang on to the end so they can get to heaven and then everything's going to be okay. That's not God's design for you. He left you His will. That's what the New Testament means. It's a new living will. It's a living will. That means Jesus is alive. He is the testator of the will. He is there to make sure His will gets performed on your behalf. How cool is that? How many of you, if you had a wealthy grandma, I mean, she is richer than anything you ever seen. And grandma kicked the bucket, and the lawyer called you and said, hey, your grandma left an envelope for you. I mean, I bet you would break every traffic law getting down to that lawyer's office, and you would open that envelope up immediately to see what Granny left you. You know, the Bible tells us that God has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. You got a daddy who's richer than any granny that ever lived. And He left you a magnificent inheritance. Have you opened that thing up to find out what Daddy gave you? That would be a good start. Follow the instructions. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise You for everything that Jesus does for us. Go get it. You got the Jody, you got the communion ready? Okay, I need two people to help me with the communion. We thank You for everything that Jesus does for us every day in His death, burial, and His resurrection. We thank You for everything that He will do for us when He completes our redemption. Oh boy. We might have to get some more juice, Jody. Give us Your very, very best. You didn't hold anything back. And You did it so freely. And there's no way that we could ever be good enough or perform good enough to ever deserve the gift of salvation. But You gave it to us freely. Father, You are so gracious to us. So merciful. So forgiving. Father, Your Son is the perfect gift that keeps on giving. We put our trust and faith in Him. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for everything that He does for us. In His death, burial, and resurrection, you better go tell him to stop. She must have counted. Father, we thank You for Your holy communion. You told us that if we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have health in our body. In fact, Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So, Father, we look at this bread, we can see that this is made without yeast. We know that yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never once sinned. He never made one single mistake. But yet, He took all of our sins on Him. We see this bread has been beaten flat. And Jesus was beaten and bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities. For the sins that we knew were sins and the sins that we didn't know. He took them all. And this bread has stripes in it. We know that it's by His stripes that we were healed. We thank You for His healing in our bodies. This bread has been pierced. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And everywhere He shed blood, we get redemption in some area. And we can see that this bread is slightly burned. means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us, for breaking your law, was laid on Jesus, even though he never broke your law. He took all of our judgment, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, and all of our sins on himself on that cross. Father, we know that you treated your son the way we deserve to be treated so that you can treat us the way he deserved to be treated. So we're taking of his broken body. We thank you for our healing in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus, like I told you earlier, had no sin in it. That means the blood of Jesus never dies. The blood of Jesus is still alive and doing what God sent it to do. In fact, 1 John 1:7 tells us that if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's a waterfall of forgiveness. Praise God. We no longer need to be holding ourselves accountable for past sins. We no longer need to be tormented by that. In fact, Romans 8:1 tells us that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So if you're feeling condemned over mistakes that you made in your past, stop. Because that's not coming from God, that's coming from the devil. God washed you clean with the blood of Jesus. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus with this blood. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right. We have coffee and snacks and fellowship back here. Come on back and partake a little bit. Have a cup of coffee and visit a little bit. And get to know somebody.